Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Las Blancas Podcast. I'm your host Yash Thakur, and today we are here to discuss Copa de la Reina semi-final, Real Madrid against Athletic Club. The final, it was supposed to be the final game of the season, and depending on the result, it would have been the final or the second last game of the season. And we are here to discuss a game with happy vibes, because it was a very fun game to watch, at least for the fans. There were goals galore, there was quality on display, and we are into our first ever Copa de la Reina finals, and we have a direct shot at a trophy. It will be complicated, obviously, but it's nice to have a trophy within our touching distance, and we look forward to it. So to break it all down today, I've got Kanita with me as always. And Kanita, how are you doing? How are the vibes after that game?
I mean, listen, we're in our first ever finals of any competition, and I'm very happy. I don't know what you're expecting me to say right now. I'm very, very happy. Seeing the team celebrate at Hard yesterday after the game made me even happier and stuff, because, you know, the result itself made the mere ending of the game not that exciting. Just, okay, it's 90 minutes, it's over, because the game was finished way earlier. But when I saw them celebrating after and jumping around, and it just, you know, that happiness struck me. So yeah, I'm very, very happy, and I'm even happier that they did a good game, a great game, a clean one, with possibly the best football I have seen this season. So I mean, this does show that you know, we can when we want. Just sometimes we don't want to for some reason. But yeah, I think after this whole time, we deserve a game like this. After suffering for so much, or just like gameplay wise, I mean, last season, how bad it was, like the start of the season and the whole remontada season happening. And I think that we deserve this trophy. So us getting to this final, getting this a chance for a trophy, is a great feeling. So yeah, ecstatic. I am just ecstatic, and I can't wait for the final. Until then, we'll talk about the semi-final match.
Yeah, so extremely positive vibes, as you can probably sense from the way Kanita was talking about it. Yeah, it was a really fun game. Like, even while I was live tweeting about the game, it was It was super fun because every single minute you had something going on in the final third. You had Weir showing up, you had Linda Caicedo doing bits, and you had Atenea doing bits, you had Toletti doing bits. So it was a really fun game, and it was a game where we looked in control throughout the 90 minutes. It wasn't like, oh, Athletic Club have the upper hand and then we managed to like somehow score a goal against the squad. So that was really a welcome change to see, and I was pretty happy about it. So let's get into the game. Let's discuss what went right, how we approached the game, why it was the way it was. So starting off, looking at the lineups, we stuck with the back four. We were back in our 4-2-3-1 in our safe space. But the lineup looked different as always, and as has been the case since the last international break in April. And we have discussed about this multiple times about how there seems to be how a particular player has been ostracized because of the contract situation and everything, and how that is not right. So you can listen to the previous pods about the discussion, because it becomes a bit redundant if we keep touching upon that, because obviously like this lineup was strong that we put out, but you know, you obviously feel that there is some sort of a power play going on in the back room, where like the manager is trying to say you don't extend and so you won't play and stuff like that. Like this is just what I perceive looking from out to in. There might be other reasons as well, but yeah. So going through the lineup, Misa was back in goal after Melin got to play the final league game. Kenty as the right back. Sousa, Ivana and Olga formed the rest of the back line. So Ivana has played herself back into the lineup now. I think that injury to Rocio just before the international break did help Ivana to re-establish herself, to show her quality consistently. And now I think she is showing that on a regular basis and has become an important part, so much so that you know, there comes a point where the manager decides to play all three rather than making one sit. So yeah, Ivana seems to have played herself back into the lineup. The midfield duo consisted of Zornosa and Toletti. So Tere was back. Zornosa, after returning from her injury in the last two games, she was back in the mix right from the get-go. Then we have Atenea, Weir and Caicedo is as the three behind, Naomi Feller leading the line. So it was a different look front four. Obviously we are expected to it being Esther instead of Feller there, and Feller would start from the bench or come off the right, and Atenea playing on the left with Linda on the bench. But this was a different look front four. This was a energetic front four, a more youthful front four. So it was exciting to see how it's going to pan out, because Athletic Club themselves are a really young squad. They have a lot of good young players. So it was interesting to see how those duels will match up, how Nerea Nevado will come up against Atenea, how Linda Caicedo will fare in this, and how Feller will perform in this sort of a big game where a lot is at stake, and she's playing centrally as well, where a lot of her good qualities can surface. So I didn't have much complaints about the lineup. What about you, Kanita? What did you make of the lineup when you first saw it?
I was too stressed to think. I was just stressed, like, full stop. So when I saw the lineup, said, okay, I don't have much complaints. I don't care, just win. That's basically all my thoughts at that point. I was only surprised to see Rocio benched. But, you know, it was obviously for Ivana and who else. But no complaints, just a bit of a surprise there. I expected if there would be a change, like Ivana would be in the starting lineup, I thought that Kathleen would be out and Rocio would be with Ivana. But Besides that, I didn't really have complaints. Maybe I would have expected Sveva to start instead of Olga. But again, no complaints. I just wanted them to win. I just said, I don't care about the lineup. As long as you win, that's all. That's all that matters. So yeah, I was very, very stressed. So yeah, I don't really have any smart thoughts about it.
Yeah, so the lineup's pretty straightforward now, given how it has been since the international break. So what happens next is interesting. Now, Athletic Club themselves were in a 4-2-3-1. Now this is a team that has let's say the defensive unit isn't as solid as one would expect. There are weak zones among the center backs. There is weak zone among the fullbacks as well. And things did not help as they panned out in the game, where they had to play makeshift players in the defense. Then the midfield duo is also like a little shaky, and the attack is entirely filled with really young players like Yone Amezaga, who recently won the under-17 Women's World Cup with Spain. Is probably one of their best attacking threats, best goal threats in the team. So it's a tricky situation for them, but it's they have a manager who is sort of shrewd in the way she approaches game. But in this game, none of it worked out. We started the game in a dominant fashion, and we ended it that way as well. So let's speak about how the game began, because we had a goal early on. Like inside 10 minutes we had our first goal. But beyond that, before talking about all the goals, because we will talk about every single goal, let's talk about the approaches from both the teams. So we know that against the ball, Real Madrid like to shape up in a 4-4-2, and 4-2-3-1 as a formation allows for that. 4-2-3-1 naturally transforms into a 4-4-2 with the number 10 pushing up alongside the striker and the wide players dropping into form a line of midfield four against the ball. And that is what Athletic Club were trying to do. Athletic Club were in a 4-4-2 themselves against the ball. So when we were trying to build up, they were trying to match our center backs and push at them. But the way we compensated for it was using Toletti and Zornosa really well. So what happened oftentimes was when Athletic Club were trying to, like, in their mid block sort of not a very high press, but a medium block, they were trying to press with their front two on our center backs. So the way we tried to work around it was to push Toletti back in between the center backs and make it a 3v2. So now we have a numbers advantage, and if now the two forward players for the Athletic Club have a decision to make. So they can either go press the two center backs, so that leaves Toletti with space to pick passes, or they can close one, but there will always be an open option. And once it goes towards either side, then we can progress using our fullbacks push slightly higher up, because once it goes to the side, then it forces one of the players from the wide midfield areas in the 4-4-2 to push up and try to, like, close them down. And that, as a consequence, as a domino effect, opens up space for the pass to be played to other players, right? So that is what happened. A simple thing with Toletti dropping deep made their press render their press useless, and we were easily able to play through that. Now, against the ball, we were in a 4-4-2 as always. It was Weir and Ferrer in the front two, and this is a really energetic front two. Now, our entire forward line looked like they were a step ahead or had a step on Athletic Club's player, because they were, I don't know, like everyone seemed really pumped up for this game. Like they were pressing really high, they were not letting up, they were not giving up any sort of time for the center backs to play the ball, pick their passes. And it was really nice to see. But what Athletic Club were doing was they were mirroring what we were trying to do. So Oguiza, their defensive midfielder, would either drop in between the center backs, or one of the other midfielders would drop in outside of the center backs to help build up. So a lot of the times the press resulted in being bypassed pretty easily. But that changed as soon as the injury to Valdezate happened, their right center back. Got injured early on in the game, and that changed a bit of the things, because that forced them to bring on a player who, you know, it was an attacker, because on the bench they did not have much depth for the center back position. So they brought on Ane Ascona. Now that led to a sort of cascading effect where Ascona now moved to the right flank. Oihane, like Ascona initially like played right center back for a few minutes, but then Ascona moved up to right flank, and then Oihane dropped into the right back position, and the initial right back Landaluce was playing as the right center back. So young player having to play out of position, makeshift position, did not look comfortable at all. Like Landaluce playing as the right center back was hounded by Feller. Like, she gave her no chance, and the receiving angles for Landaluce were really bad. Like, she wasn't able to position her body properly to spread the ball out wide or move it forward, and that really hampered Athletic Club's ability to progress the ball. So that is how, like, basically the game, you know, began. And once we scored the first, then we scored the second quickly, and we were like 3-0 up inside the first half. At that point, it seemed like Athletic Club cannot come back from this. You know, the game seemed done in the first half, and if it wasn't, it was done inside the 30 seconds of the second half when we scored again. So that is the thing. Like, goals obviously change a lot of things, but so do injuries. And while the tactics weren't like really solid from Athletic Club, these aspects did not help, and we just looked like we were a step ahead of them, and that is how the game and the scoreline reflected as well. So this was what happened, like, basically throughout the game. Once we got in a comfortable lead, we did not let up. We still had more of the ball. Like, I don't think Athletic Club even managed to threaten the goal that much. Misa had almost nothing to do the entire game. And that shows, that speaks a little about the sort of struggle that Athletic Club has been having in finding great attackers, in finding good goal scorers. They are having to rely on under 17, under 18 players, which do have quality, but putting the burden of goal scoring of an entire team on a 17-year-old seems a little unreasonable. And that is what happened. So, yeah, pretty straightforward approaches from both the sides. It wasn't really anything out of the box. But the execution is where all the difference was made. So, yeah, that was it. Kanita, do you have any thoughts on the way either team approached this game? Do you have any specific notes? And if not, you can talk about the first goal that Caroline Weir scored. And I think everyone went nuts with the way she scored it.
I don't have much to add, especially about Athletic. I mean, after our second goal, I think both me and them gave up on tactics. You know, I gave up on trying to understand what Iturregi was doing with her team. But yeah, anyway, that injury definitely messed things up. I still don't know why an attacker was brought in instead of a center back. I don't understand that. But you know what, I won't comment further on that. I just want to add that the way our like front four worked was very interesting, because I didn't expect what I saw from Atenea, because I expected Atenea to be like strictly on the wing, but I saw her centrally a lot, While she was going centrally, a fellow would be going wider and wider. And obviously, Linta was mostly on the wing. I actually expected her to be like a second 10, like we're used to seeing when she's playing, you know, in this lineup or very similar one. We've seen this before, but she was mostly, you know, wide. You might be able to correct me on that if you remember anything, but I definitely don't remember her operating from inside a lot. I remember Atenea though, and that was pretty surprising to me. The front four was, interestingly enough, good to watch. Like, I actually enjoyed it, and I was surprised how well we started the game, and how well the game just continued. You know, we didn't have these like moments of just falling down. And Athletic did have their first chance, well, not really a chance, just attempt at going up in the 13th minute. But yeah, that's like 5 minutes after the goal. 6 minutes after the goal, so yeah. But our first goal, yeah, it came in 7th minute. Like you already mentioned, it was Caroline Weir. Who other than her? And it, from the assist to the mere finishing, the goal was a masterpiece. So the assist was from was by Sornosa. So Sornosa made a long ball, like over a few, quite a few players, straight to Weir. She controlled it masterfully and chipped it over Quinones. And it was, yeah, people going nuts over that goal. That's not, I think that's an understatement. Very, very clean assist, very clean execution. I just don't know what else to say about it. If there was anything else before Sonosa's pass, you can add. But that long ball from her and Weir's control, I just, I don't think I have any further comments about it.
All I have in my notes written about that goal, and after watching it pop up multiple times on the timeline, especially that first touch from Caroline Weir, all I have to say is, this is like just technical brilliance, you know. Zornosa picks up the ball slightly deeper. She lifts her head up, sees that Caroline Weir is making a run in between the center backs. She plays the long ball, and the first touch there is what makes all the difference, you know. She brings it down so elegantly. It's almost like that Zidane touch that goes you know, viral, where he has both of his feet in the air and brings the ball down masterfully. You can see the shades of that, because at the point where the ball hits her feet, both her legs are in the air for a moment. She brings it down, edge of the box, looks up, sees that the goalkeeper is off position, and chips her. Like, that is insane. Like, she has a particular affinity on chipping keepers from like the edge of the box. She did that to Mary Earps a couple of times in the WSL, and she is known for scoring worldies. Like, she probably has a book somewhere that will come out probably in the future, where she lets everyone knows how she does it. But Caroline Weir is ridiculous. Like, she, on a technical level, on the tactical level, on every single level imaginable, Caroline Weir is just a ridiculous footballer, and we are so blessed to have her. Like, she always makes difference with her quality on the ball, with the way she presses off the ball. So yeah, I mean, amazing player, dude. Amazing, just amazing player. Like, I don't have any other words. That, like, we probably have a Weir's World segment that we announce, and every time we speak about her, the adjectives stop, like, start to fail what we are witnessing on the pitch. I think there was a very nice moment as well in the stands, where Solari Roberto Carlos and Anna Rosell were sitting, and Rosell goes, Rosell like really compliments Vierce Foerster. She's like, this woman is literally exceptional. And she is, you know. In this game, she scored 2, assisted 1, involved in like 3 out of the 4 goals that we scored. She is our second highest goal scorer of all time, and this is her first season. She is the player with the most assists provided in our history. That is not normal. This is all under one season. She has 40 plus goal contributions for Real Madrid this season, which is not normal. Like, she is actually performing at a Ballon d'Or winning level, like, and consistently. Like, there, I don't remember we are having any lean patch throughout the season. She just comes in and she makes a difference, and that is what she did here in the 7th minute, where she scored a beautiful goal. Like, if you haven't seen it, you should probably go and watch the highlights, or if you just search Weir, I think you'll probably find the goal as well. So, amazing goal. Let's talk about what happened after the goal. So, once we scored, we mounted the pressure again. 10th minute, Caicedo hits the post. And you can just sense that first goal wasn't the end of it. We are going to score many more goals here, because we were consistently threatening. And Linda Caicedo was going, like, she was dominating that flank. She was picking up the ball wide. She was coming inside. She was carrying the ball while being not challenged at all. Like, that was the part that really struck with me as well. Because a lot of the times, like, Athletic Club were not intense enough either. They were walking when chasing the ball. They weren't, like, trying to close down quickly. And that made a difference. Like, we just had that little bit of physical edge on them, physical in the sense we had that extra explosiveness, we had that extra step on them, and that made it very difficult for them to compete. Because, you know, once you give that sort of edge to your opponents, and especially when your opponents are effective players like you know, Caroline Weir, you have Linda Caicedo who will punish you for those mistakes and for that sloppiness, for that laziness. And that is what happened. We just kept punishing them. Linda Caicedo, 10 minutes, hits the post. And then in the 26th minute, we have Sanji Toletti scoring the second goal of the game. And this is a really, really good goal for reasons. I think this perfectly encapsulates what Sanji Toletti is all about. Because the move starts at the back in our own third. Sanji Toletti starts the move, basically. Like, she plays the second pass on the sequence, and as the ball progresses up the pitch, she moves with it. She positions herself, she follows the run of play. Basically, the ball goes out wide towards the right hand side where Caroline Weir has drifted. She picks the ball up, looks up, and at that point, like, Feller has made a run into the box. She has the attention and she has the focus of both Athletic Club center backs. And in this moment, Toletti identifies that there's a space opening up inside the opposition box, and she runs towards it. She lifts her hand up, she asks for the ball, and we're identifies her, plays the perfect looping ball. Sanji Toletti adjusts herself in the box, gets the shot off. So Sanji Toletti was who played the first or the second pass in the sequence, finished this sequence with a shot on goal, the same player. And that is what, like, really highlights her quality. She is effective in helping us build from the back, and she is effective at making that build-up sequence count on the score sheet as well. Yes, it took a deflection, but the fact that she managed to connect with that shot after starting the whole sequence and making a perfectly timed run into the box, I think says enough. I think even if it wasn't a goal, we would have been talking about this sequence, because this sequence is Sanji Toletti. Like, this, if you have to show somebody what Sanji Toletti is all about, Sanji Toletti isn't isn't your defensive midfielder. Sandy isn't like Sandy started out as an attacking midfielder, but she's not an attacking midfielder anymore. She's this midfielder who can do everything. She can progress the ball, she can win you the ball back, she can make late arrivals into the box to, you know, meet these crosses. Amazing player, and that is why I've been so adamant of, like, I think in the midfield, one of the slot is down for Sandy Toletti. Like, you have to just play her. That is the sort of quality. And in the first two goals itself, we see the quality shining through. We see Caroline Weir's ability to ability with the first touch and the finish. Then we see Weir's ability with the creative aspect of the game. Then we see Toletti's entire game in one sequence. So, amazing players that we have, and just, you know, quality showing on the pitch. Third goal, once again, was quality as well. The move starts on the left. And this is where what I mean when I say we had a little extra step on them. So on the left hand side, Naomi Feller picks the ball up and she just accelerates a bit. And even before, like, when the sequence is starting, you see Weir plays the ball to, I think it's Linda Caicedo, and then Linda Caicedo lays it off for Naomi Feller. And in that sequence, you can see some of the Athletic Club players, you know, walking back, not closing down quickly enough, and then not being able to deal with that burst of pace that Naomi Feller has. Feller just managed to create that separation, put the ball in, and then Athenea, just from the wide right position, she gets in front of Nerea Nevado, attacks the near post, and that's a really well taken goal as well. Like, she finishes it at near post, really well placed shot, first time from the cutback. It really well taken goal. All three goals have qualities that that highlight the strengths of individual players involved, plus a greater aspect of technical brilliance as well from the players. So I was pretty happy with each and every goal that we scored in the first half. And at this point, it looked like, because the third goal came in the 40th minute, and at this point it looked like the game was a goner. Like, the game was settled. The Athletic Club looked dejected. They knew that they had lost the grip on the game, and it showed in the second half performance, in the way the game panned out. But before we get into that, Kanita, what were your thoughts on the second and the third goal? And you can lead us on to talking about the fourth goal, which was scored in a blink of an eye in the second half, basically. So, yeah, what did you make of Toletti's goal? What did you make of Athenea's goal? And what did you make of the fourth goal?
I remember one winner that Toletti scored. Weirdly enough, I don't remember against whom, but I remember it was a winner and Toletti scored it. And I remember commenting on how good she is at keeping an eye on the ball, like on the movement of the whole play. Like, she starting the sequence and then being like off the ball the whole time until the ball arrives to her to finish it. Remember that goal was much closer to the, you know, goal. She scored the winner in the end, but I remember that her off-ball movement is something you have to watch for, you know, something you have to watch to see how she does it. And she does it all the time. She did it again to score, this time once again. It just, you can see she never stops running. She, like, jogs, sees where the ball is going, sees where her teammates are. Everything is going to plan. The ball is still in her possession. Everyone is doing what they're supposed to do in this sequence. And she's right there in front of the goal, around 15 meter distance and something. And her finish, oh my god, I think that's like top three goals of the season for me. Easily top three. I don't know, ice cream. That was such a good finish, such a good finish. And how Weir found her, how Weir saw where she was, because there were like one or two more of our players there, and like Toletti was like sandwiched in between of Athletic's defense as well, and she saw her there. Toletti actually stopped when she realized that Weir would send the ball to her. She wanted to go more up. I realized that she was still running, but she saw that Weir was going for the cross, and she stopped. She just made one step backwards, positioned herself there, and just shot that volley. Oh my god, it's amazing. It's I don't have words to describe that goal, that finishing. I don't know. I'm just shocked by a lot of things in this game, but mostly for this goal. And yeah, the third goal. It's again one thing that I mentioned in the beginning, how I was surprised how well our front four worked. They flowed like easily. And like this was the whole sequence from the left side. It was flawless, like from the moment we recovered the ball, then Weir getting it to Feller, and how you described it, it's good. And like Tania also shooting with her left leg, like she had to like make a kind of a rotation. So yeah, kudos to her as well for that. Even though she was pretty close to the goal, she wouldn't really focus on that little part when Atenea finishes it as much as the rest of the action. But that's her weak foot, and she still had to rotate a bit. So and yeah, Atenea got her goal in this semifinal, and very, you know, very good vibes, very, very good vibes. And yeah, we finish off the first half, and you can all already see during the celebrations, you can see that some players are preparing to be subbed on. So I was thinking, oh, finally, he's thinking, oh, the game is finished already in the first 45 minutes, and he's making subs, he's going to rest players. And he did, you know. I was really, really surprised by that. But before we talk about the subs, the fourth goal, the final one, it happened inside the 30 seconds of the second half. Which I'm like, okay, I don't even count it as second half goal, because you know it's in 46 minutes now. What am I supposed to say? Like, I don't know. It's a second half goal only because of the subs made, and at that point Mila and Maite were on. So in this like exact goal, Sonosa was the one who brought the ball to the box. She put it, she gave it to Weir, to her head, and Weir wanted to give it to Mila, who was right there in the line with her in the box. However, there was a defender between them, but that ball bounced off straight back to Weir, who shot it at the goal. And yeah, that's basically how the goal went. I don't know how else to describe it. And also, one interesting detail from that is right before they would go up to celebrate, you can just see for a brief moment, Mila was a bit laughing because of the way the ball didn't get to arrive to her, but then she went to celebrate, you know, normally with her teammate. It was just funny to her, and I laughed because, you know, of her reaction. So you can rewatch that part if you want. But yeah, basically it's just Weir wanting to give it to Mila, and you know, fate giving it back to Weir. I guess that's how I would describe the goal. If you have anything else to say about it, go ahead.
I think you described it pretty well. I mean, you know, the fact that we started making changes at halftime tells you that there was a sense that this game was done inside those 40 minutes with those three goals, and with the amount of attacking threat that Athletic Club were able to showcase in the first half, it looked unlikely that the comeback was, you know, gonna take place, because we spoke about this at the start as well. Athletic Club isn't really a very high goal scoring team. They struggle to score goals. They don't have a reliable like goal scorer up front leading the line for them. In the league this season, they finished 10th, managed to score just 34 goals in 30 games. So it shows that this is not a side that, you know, scores very many goals. And with the departure of Lucia Garcia as well last season, it hasn't been easy to like replicate her 10-15 goals that she used to score. And under 17, under 18 players playing, young players playing up front, they need time. They need time to settle in. They need time to adapt to everything. So that is what makes it like quite difficult for them. And, you know, 30 seconds into the second half, we score another. So that's like the final nail on the coffin moment for me, because, and Caroline Weir capped off her great game with a brace and an assist. And to be honest, like, she could have had a hat trick, because at one point after the first goal that she scored, and immediately like after, she managed to like run in behind. After the second goal, she managed to make a great run in behind, was found by Naomi Feller, who dropped deep and turned and picked out Weir, making a great run inside the box. Weir tried to like put it in the far post, but it did not connect well, and it just rolled off towards the side. But that is the thing, like this whole dynamic that we saw among the front four was also very interesting, because, you know, Naomi Feller dropping towards the ball, Naomi Feller making a channel run, leaving the central space empty. You have a player like Weir who understands that she needs to fill that space in, and that is what she was doing very well. And I mean, we know that she can do that, so it's no real surprise that she is doing it. She has been doing that for the entire season, and that is one of the reasons she has been able to score so many goals from so many good positions. And yeah, it's just amazing to watch her play. And once again, MVP of the game, once again a player who decides the game for Real Madrid. So yeah, blessed to have her. And beyond this, it was just, the game just became a sort of a formality. In the 54th minute, we made a couple of more subs. We brought on Savava and Tere to replace Zornosa and Weir. And the shocking factor here is Caroline Weir was taken off at 54th minute. Now, if that doesn't say that there was a sense that we had won the game by then I don't know what will, because Caroline Weir used to stay on the pitch even when we were 5-0 up against teams that, you know, had no capacity to come back, against teams with nothing at stake. Like, this is a semi-final game where if the opposition comes back, you're knocked out, you're out of the competition. In a semi-final, we are subbing off Caroline Weir in 54th minute. That tells you, I think, how we started to perceive the game as the clock rolled on. So yeah, nothing much changed. The dynamics were almost similar. You know, Tere then slotted alongside Toletti in the double pivot. We had like Tere playing that sort of deeper role now, with Toletti pushed up. Now Toletti was able to do her bits in the final third. We had Maite from earlier, who was now playing that sort of free role. Olga had pushed up, playing the winger role. So it was really nice. It was the dynamics did not change. It just adapted from one set of players to another, which was very good to see. And the front four dynamics that we saw initially with the energetic approach from Atenea, from Feller, from Linda Caicedo. That was really nice to see. So, yeah. And in the 72nd minute, Linda was substituted for Naikari. And Naikari and Caroline Moller then formed the front two. We saw some good, hold-up play from Moller as well to sort of try and link with Naikari. And we know from the past that Naikari loves to play against Athletic Club. She loves to score against them. She has a history with them when playing for Real Sociedad, where she, you know, there's a lot of how do I put it? There's a lot of history between those two clubs. Like, she always manages to score against them. There was a rivalry when she was at Real Sociedad. Playing against Athletic Club, they are rival clubs. Athletic Club has tried in the past to sign Naikari. So yeah, it was something. I was hoping that she would get on the score sheet again, because that's what she does against them. And Athletic Club fans probably aren't very fond of her for doing that. So yeah, but that unfortunately did not happen in this game. And after that 72nd minute, I think the thing that we need to talk about is that lengthy stoppage in between, which led to like 6-7 minutes of added time towards the end of the game. So there was a medical situation in the stands. Kanita, would you like to talk about it? Would you like to give us what exactly happened according to the broadcast? Now, we don't have the exact details about who the person was or, you know, what the exact medical condition was. So we are just recounting events as they happened and the details that were made public. We've been also told that the person is out of danger and pretty much safe now. So that's really good to hear, because everyone on the pitch looked really concerned for the person. So Kanita, you can add any comments or any details that you have on the incident. And if not, you can push us through the final 10-15 minutes of the game, and then we can talk about individual performances.
So in 79th minute, the game was stopped, and there were people rushing up to the stands, and medical staff as well. Well, according to what I heard, what I could understand from the broadcast is that it was like a sugar drop, and that the person was near unconscious or unconscious. I'm not sure about that, but basically the person is now out of danger, like Yash said. And yeah, I mean, it lasted for like, what, 5-6 minutes? And yeah, it was the players were very concerned. While you just mentioned Naikari, she also wanted to help up because she's a med student and offered herself to go up. She was standing by the stands asking, like, if they need help, she can go up and give support. So yeah, that wasn't needed, luckily, and everything went well. The game was continued, and yeah, we had like the next, what, 6-7 minutes of the regular time, play normally. And I remember, like, during those minutes where they played, there was something on the speaker on the stadium, like applause for the medical team for doing a great job. So yeah, basically announcing that the person is fine. And I mean, in those those 15 minutes, and especially the last 10 minutes, I don't really have much to add. I mean, we had like Mila and Naikari there, but they were just vibing on the pitch. They weren't really connected, even though they tried. The Athletics number 29 was holding up Naikari a lot. Whenever Naikari would go up to run, she would punch her in the face or something like that. Not really punch her, but, you know, just looked very weird. Yeah, I mean, well, they tried something. They were just vibing. And last, like, 5 minutes or so, we saw Coletti limping a bit for, I don't know, a minute or two. And I know we were all concerned about her because we didn't have any more subs left. We made our fifth sub in the 72nd minute. And, you know, someone got injured, we would have to be left with 10. But luckily, she was seen, you know, walking and running normally not long after that. So hopefully it was nothing that she'll get to rest for this, well, what, 2 days? And yeah. I think that if it was something serious, she would have been off. Either way, I mean, we were 4-0 up. They weren't going to score 5 goals. So, yeah, I don't think it was serious anyway. But, yeah, there were 6 added minutes. Nothing really much happened. I don't remember anything except for that little scare. But, yeah, she's fine. And, yeah, I think that's it about the game. You can lead us through the individual performances.
Yeah, so the game had pretty much died down in the second half, you know, like we dominated the ball. Now I can't tell you the exact possession stats for the game because they aren't publicly available and I did not catch them on the broadcast either. So let's talk about the best performers for the game or the standout performers from the game. I think let's address the elephant in the room first. Caroline Weir, amazing player, great goals, great assist, excellent performance. I don't know what else to say about Caroline Weir at this point. Like, she will be the biggest reason we win the trophy. And I hope she can win a trophy in her first season at the club, because her first season needs something like a trophy to be remembered by. All of those, like, 40 plus goals and assists, that 40 plus percentage of total involvement in Real Madrid's goal cannot be for nothing. I hope we do end up winning a trophy and her season can be crowned with that. So that is really nice, and I hope it can actually finish on a high as well. Caroline Weir, amazing performance. You can add on it later as I finish the players that I want to highlight. I think the other player that I would really like to highlight is Linda Caicedo. Linda Caicedo is actually, like, I think the fans will agree now, having seen her for a fair amount of time at the club and the way she has come in, settled, we have spoken about this. It has been seamless. She has just slotted in and she makes a difference in every single game. The way she carries the ball for an 18-year-old to have that sort of balance on her carries, to not be, you know, pushed off the ball with due to challenges, it's just amazing. Like, the way she easily, like, does that with and the final ball that she has to match with it, she has no, it almost seems like she plays with no pressure. She does not care who she is coming up against, whether it's Barcelona, whether it's Atletico Madrid, whether it's anyone. Like, she just comes in, she gets the ball at her feet, she has that initial burst of acceleration, creates separation, is extremely skilled, great first touch on the ball as well, puts in a great ball, final ball too. So, an 18-year-old has come in and has probably made one of the wing positions her own. So much so that Athenea has had to move towards the right. We know Athenea was, like, thriving on the left, where she would cut in and then get the opportunity to score towards the end of last season and in this season as well. Like, she's right-footed. cutting in from the left and probably playing that shot or playing the ball over the top in behind for somebody like Naomi Feller making a run. That was a really interesting dynamic. But Linda Caicedo is so good that we probably are okay with shaking up that dynamic. We probably are okay with relying on an 18-year-old to produce these sort of moments. And that says a lot about Linda Caicedo, I think. Another player, and like, she's one of my favorite players, I would say, is Sandy Toletti. Like, I love midfielders, and Sandy Toletti is just the encapsulation of everything a midfielder does. She does everything on the pitch. She brings so much balance. Ever since she has come back from that injury, she has been phenomenal. She has scored important match-winning goals with the same sort of late arrivals into the box. She has done it all. Like, I think Sandy Toletti is probably one of the mainstays in the midfield, and around her things change, but she is the one fixed element in that midfield duo or trio or whatever we want to try. Like, she makes the back three work, she makes the back four work with her work rate, with her tenacity, with her tactical awareness and spatial awareness to make the right runs, to time the right runs. It's just amazing. And we saw that on the second goal as well today. And we saw that multiple times even in later on in the game where she was able to have more influence in the final third as well. So Sandy Toletti, excellent player, offers progression, offers ball recoveries, offer goals as well. And, you know, I'm lost for words. Like, really, really good player. And I think that was one of the most shrewd piece of business that we did, because such sort of players are what makes the entire team tick. You can have a lot of great attackers, you can have a lot of great defenders, but players like Toletti add that balance that makes the entire team work. So I think I would say pretty impressive performance from her as well. And she got the goal to show for it. And she seemed very happy after scoring, you know. She couldn't stop smiling after that goal. So that was really nice as well. Everyone enjoyed that game. I think, like, the entire team looked really happy. So, yeah, Kanita, any other player, or if you want to add any comments on those players that I mentioned, you can do that. And if not, we can talk about the final a little, and then we can wrap it up.
Well, I have something to say, something that probably everyone might feel like it's very surprising for me, but listen to me good, because I'm not going to be repeating this anytime soon, and I've never said it before, probably. I don't remember. So, yeah, here it is. Toril did good with the subs, very reasonable subs, started the game very cleanly, ended it the same note. He rested players. Listen, not just this game, the, like, five players, well, four players plus Ivana, who was suspended for the last league game, they were out of the squad list. And those four players that weren't available for the last game, they shone in this one. So those are Weir, Toletti, Feller, and that one I can't remember. Great. But Linda also didn't play that whole game. And we talked about them, right? We talked about all of them. And none of them played the last game. And he rested them for this match. We really showed how, you know, serious he was about this match. And the mere fact that he started with the subs early, that he saw that, oh, we're 3-0 up, that he already brought people to warm up at 40th minute then, and make a double sub at halftime, two more 9 minutes later, to rest Weir for more than half an hour. Do you understand what resting Weir for more than half an hour means? People, we are cooking. Okay, we are cooking. He is serious about this final. We are serious about the final. I'm so excited. So yeah, let's talk about the final.
Yes, and I'm going to ruin everyone's mood by talking about the final because the final is going to be against Atletico Madrid. It's going to be a Madrid derby. And if you've been paying attention to any Madrid derby in existence, let me just say it is the worst game to ever be played. Like, it's so bad. It has drama, I'll agree on that. It has drama in the final 10-15 minute. Things get heated and shit. And even in us, like, not that long history as Real Madrid Femenino, I think we have one up them a little bit. We have managed to beat them in their own home. We have managed to shit house wins against them. So there is that little, factor that is always entertaining to watch about derbies, but those games are really bad. I mean, I don't know. It just turns out to be like both teams play some of the worst football they've ever played somehow. I just hope, and since there is a trophy online, I hope there is good football on display as well. There's quality on both ends. There is no denying that. Like, Atletico Madrid has quality players. They have one of our former players as well, Marta Cardona. They have Andrea Stascova, they have Maitane, they have really good players. That's what I'm trying to say, They have Bonini as well. So, like, really, really good players. We have quality as well. There is a trophy at stake. Atletico Madrid would like to win that trophy because they are out of the Champions League qualifiers next season, for the next season as well. That's 2 seasons in a row where they haven't made the Champions League playoffs. So, they would want to end their season on a high, and it will be interesting to see. It will be interesting to see how the game actually plays out and whether we win our very first trophy of our history or not, because that will be a big thing. That is a big thing. So, yeah, looking forward to it, but I just don't know. I just have very bad vibes about derby football. Like, it's just, especially Madrid derby. Like, even on the men's side, it's like the worst game imaginable. So yeah, hopefully that is not the case here. Any comments on the final, Kanita? Otherwise we can wrap it up.
I'm just afraid that the pod about this very final, well, it will just me trying to, be a bit chill, or like trying to see some tactics and stuff, if there are any, because you already said that it just might be the worst football imaginable, because that's what Madrid derbies have been in the past 3 years. And the last one especially that we had. So yeah, at this point I don't care what kind of football it is. I don't care if we get a red card. I don't care if they get a red card. I don't care if they're free fights or something, or a boring game. I don't care as long as we win, okay? That's all I have to say. I just And I'm afraid that if we win, well, I want to say when we win. Yeah. But I need to be diplomatic about this, right? Probably not. I'm just gonna say when. But yeah, when we win, I'm very afraid that I'll keep saying, yeah, I don't care. I'm really glad we won. So I'm afraid that will be me for the whole pod. I will try my best, I swear, to analyze the game. However it ends, but I think I will be losing my mind before. I'm already losing my mind, but before and after the game. So yeah, it's in 2 days as of now, when we're recording. So yeah, fun times.
And we will be here with you guys to either celebrate or mourn that game. Hopefully it's the former one, where we can collectively rejoice talking about the game, talking about a game that won us our first trophy. So let's finger crossed, touch wood, hopefully we come away with a trophy in that game. And after that, we'll have one special pod for you guys where we talk about, where we have sort of season awards that I have planned. So we'll have that in about a week's time from the final. So yeah, looking forward towards the final. And until then, Ala Madrid.
Ala Madrid.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.